السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر، كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون، كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, a few weeks ago we were discussing Surah At-Takasur. We had come to the last part of it, and then due to some reason or the other we switched over to another topic. But let us complete the last part. Of course, as you have already heard, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Alhaakum At-Takasur Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir. Your mutual rivalry in the piling up of wealth diverts you. That means there's a mutual rivalry in you. You just want to pile up material wealth. Whatever you consider as beneficial to you in this material world, then there is a mutual rivalry. You just want to pile up all those things. I have mentioned many times that considering it as a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if a person has to acquire it and use it correctly, then we are not objecting to that. But here, where the person forgets the giver of those ni'mats, his only concern in this world is that I should have more than the other person. It says, Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves. Your death will come, take you away to the graves, then only you will realize that you had wasted all your time in this mutual rivalry. That means we will only realize it after the sand has gone into our mouths, after the worms have eaten our bodies, and after that body has erupted, and the stench and the filth and the smell of that is such that if the person has to leave that grave open, then even the parents, and if it is the husband, then the wife, and if it is the wife, then the husband, or whomsoever that we loved very dearly, then we too would not like to stand near that grave if they had to leave it open and we had to get that stench and the smell of that body bursting and erupting and all the worms coming to have a good meal. So he says, so this is what has diverted you. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala warns, Hatta zurtumul maqabir kalla sawfa ta'alamun. Nay, soon you shall know. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'alamun. Then again you shall soon know. You will definitely know that this is not just a fantasy. It is not just fairy tales or stories. This is what is going to happen. And not that it is going to happen, we have seen it with our eyes happening. Don't we read in the newspapers and don't we listen to stories of where, when large number of deaths have taken place, and the Israelis or the Americans or the Northern Alliance or in India or wherever it may be, when they do not allow the relatives and the family members to come and take away those bodies, then what kind of stench do we have there? Unless it is the body of some shaheed that Allah Ta'ala wants to make as a lesson for the ummah, then you may get fragrance from there. But it's not necessary that every shaheed's body is going to give that fragrant smell. Because if that was the case, then everybody in the world will desire to become a shaheed, and there will be no examination and a test left. So generally this is what is going to happen, whether it's the body of a shaheed or it is the body of an ordinary Muslim or non-Muslim. But the same thing is going to happen. Of course, after that, in the akhirah, there's going to be a different dealing with those who are walis of Allah, with those who are believers in Allah, with those who are shaheeds, etc. So this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants. And then he says, kalla sawfa ta'lamun thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun kalla law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqin. Nay, if only you knew with the knowledge of certainty, only if you had certain knowledge, then your whole attitude would have been different. Kalla law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqin latarawunna al-jahim. You will definitely see the fire of Jahannam. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا. Then you shall definitely see it with عين اليقين, with certainty of knowledge. With certainty of sight you will definitely see the fire of Jahannam. But all this has been discussed at length, and now we come to the last part where ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you will be questioned about the bounties. The bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you will be questioned about that on the Day of Judgment. Now this is something that is very relevant to each and every one of us. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showering so much of bounties upon us, so much of ni'mats upon us, that it's unlimited. We cannot even understand and realize. إِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you will not be able to count it. It's impossible to count it. How much of ni'mats Allah Ta'ala is showering upon us day and night. I have mentioned this in other bayans also, and if it is repeated, then we should be happy that at least it makes us alert and makes us realize that we haven't as yet done justice to these ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So I don't know what I had already mentioned, but this is something that is very, very important and relevant to each and every one of us. That if we are going to make shukr of the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, then Allah Ta'ala is promising a definite increase. It is a promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala does not go against His promise. With regards to all the other ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Without hisab, without limit, without counting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can give rizq. But to whom? That sustenance Allah Ta'ala can give to whomsoever He pleases. مَنْ يَشَاء. Whomsoever Allah Ta'ala desires, He can give how much He wants. Also when it comes to maghfirat, when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, then again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah Ta'ala does not forgive those who associate partners with Him in His sifat, in His attributes. Those who make shirk with Him, then Allah Ta'ala does not forgive those people. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And besides that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive whomsoever He pleases. Again Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Whomsoever Allah Ta'ala wills, then He is going to forgive that person. The person was sinful, if Allah Ta'ala wants, He can punish him. If Allah Ta'ala wants, He can forgive him. But then there are many other ayats like that when it comes to other issues. But especially when it comes to this issue of rizq, when it comes to this issue of shukr, the issue of gratitude to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then there Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala promises, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you are going to make shukr, then Allah Ta'ala says, I will definitely give you an increase. Lam taqid, banun taqid, thaqila, for those who know Arabic grammar, that there's so much of emphasis in it. Allah Ta'ala is making a genuine promise that if you are going to make shukr, then I will definitely give you an increase. And wala in kafartum, and if you are going to make kufran of the ni'mat, if you are going to be ungrateful, then Allah Ta'ala said, inna azabi la shadeed, then my azab also is very, very severe. Severe azab Allah Ta'ala is promising for those people who are going to make kufran of those ni'mats, those who are going to show those who are going to be ungrateful for those ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now we can just imagine from this, that if Allah Ta'ala has made a promise that He will give an increase, then if we are not getting an increase in our ni'mats, and if there is a zawal in our ni'mats, if there is a decrease in our ni'mats, if there is a snatching away of our ni'mats, then it's one of the two things. Either Allah Ta'ala wants to take it away and test the person if he is pious, if he is an Allah wala, if he is a wali of Allah, or if he is a friend of Allah Ta'ala, or if he is a muttaqi person, then there is a test. Allah Ta'ala wants to take that away for a little while, test him for sabr, and then give him an increase as promised. Oh, Allah Ta'ala will give it to me in the hereafter. Oh, Allah Ta'ala will give him something better. But that promise is still there that he will definitely get that increase. And for those whom it is an azab and a punishment, then the outward signs that it is an azab and a punishment is that this person, he becomes depressed and he loses hope and faith in Allah Ta'ala, and he distances himself even more from Allah Ta'ala than before. That before he was a little distant away and he was indulging in a lot of sins and he was not appreciating those ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, those gifts of Allah Ta'ala. That wealth was used in the casinos, that wealth was in the cinemas, that wealth was paid, or the wealth was given to prostitutes, where Allah Ta'ala's lanat and curse and ghazab was descending, where Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had said that when the person is committing zina, then iman leaves that person's body. It just remains above him. And if Allah Ta'ala wills, then it returns. Otherwise it says goodbye and it's gone. So this is the meaning I have given you. So this person is now spending that wealth in such type of places. Now because of that, Allah Ta'ala snatched away that wealth. As an azab, Allah Ta'ala started taking it away. In so many parts of the world, and even here in South Africa and across our borders, we have seen that. That when that wealth was being spent in the casinos and on prostitutes and all other kinds of sinful things, then after a period of time, Allah Ta'ala snatched it away. Now when Allah Ta'ala snatched it away, the sign that it is an azab of Allah Ta'ala is that this person becomes very, very restless. He loses faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala, and now he begins complaining of Allah. And instead of becoming closer to Allah, making tawbah and istighfar, he distances himself even more. There's no namaz left in his life. And afterwards you will find that this person is now associating and joining those who are the disbelievers. He loses hope in Allah Ta'ala. So this is the sign of that azab. So we must not just conclude that any person who has lost some money or lost some car or lost some wealth or has lost his health, then it is an azab of Allah Ta'ala. For many people it is not an azab, it is a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you are going to make shukr, then I will definitely give you an increase. Now, I have mentioned this before too, and I repeat, that if we have to look at the ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala upon us, they are unlimited. But each and every one of us, we know that we have got much, much more than somebody else. Each and every person, no matter how sick he may be, no matter how little wealth he may have, no matter what difficulties he may be undergoing, but if he has to look at his life and compare it with the life of, say, somebody in the prison in Cuba, or somebody in the prison in Afghanistan, one of the Northern Alliance jails, or if he has to compare it with one of those people who were in Jenin, or one of those persons who was in Ramallah, or in any of the other places where there is so much of difficulties and trials and hardships, then he will appreciate that my Allah Ta'ala has given me so much of ni'mats. This Jummah day we are sitting here comfortably listening to a bayan, we'll be making our namaz, we'll be meeting brothers cheerfully, joyfully, and then going home and having a good meal. Then just think of all those people who are deprived of this great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So many of us were able to, when we got up, we were able to see our children, what the colors of their faces were, and how healthy they were, or were they sick. And we were able to see our cars, we were able to drive our cars to our businesses, we were able to do so many things. The ni'mat of our eyes was still there intact. The ni'mat of our ears was still there. We could listen to the voices of our wives and children and our customers and clients. Our tongues, the ni'mat of our tongue was still there. Speech, our speech was not blurred. We could still communicate. So much of ni'mat Allah Ta'ala gave to us the moment we got up this morning. Our hands, our feet, and every ni'mat, if we have to look at it, there's so much of other ni'mats within ni'mats. There's ni'mats within ni'mats. So these ni'mats, generally we accept that they are ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, and sometimes we do make some shukr over it. But the greatest ni'mat of all is the ni'mat of Iman, over which we make very little shukr. Then is the ni'mat of Islam, over which we make very little shukr. This also I have discussed in detail. But I want to bring you to another very important ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, which we neglect. And as a result of which, then we face the consequences. Because Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna azabi la shadid." The azab of Allah Ta'ala is also very, very shadid and very hard and severe when we are going to show, when we are not going to be grateful for those ni'mats. Ingratitude when we are going to show. One of those ni'mats for which we show great ingratitude is the proximity of a masjid to our homes. This is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala gives us a masjid in proximity to our homes, where within walking distance we can reach the masjid. Or if we have got cars, then we do not have to travel 20 miles and 50 miles to go and reach a masjid. When I was in Washington, a brother told me there, he says, "Maulana, please have tea with me." I said, "Well, we are in a bit of a hurry." He says, "No, my house is just close to the masjid." So I accepted his invitation. After the bayan, then when he was taking me to his house, it took almost 25 minutes to get to his house. It was almost from here to Spingo Hills or Beach or further than that. So I said, "Bhai, you told me that we are in very close proximity to the masjid." He said, "Yes, here we call this very close to the masjid." Now look at the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. That for them, that's a great ni'mat that they were able to make it to the masjid, which was 25 miles away. And he said that is the closest. So we do not make show any appreciation for this great ni'mat of the masjid. Now what is that appreciation for that ni'mat of the masjid? It is not that when you give donation when they require paint for the masjid, or we open our hearts when they require carpets for the masjid, or we write a big check when it comes to the construction of the masjid. All these are essential things. But what was that masjid built for? That masjid was not built for just paint and for looking at the architecture and the design. That masjid was built for prostrating before Allah Ta'ala, for making namaz, for zikr, for tilawat, and for begging of Allah in his house. That is what that masjid was made for. Now when Allah Ta'ala gives us a masjid close to our home, that time we do not want to frequent that masjid. That time we have got a lot of excuses. We will always calculate the cost of petrol when it comes to reaching the masjid. But when it comes to going to the cinemas and theaters and casinos, and when it comes to the marriages of our sons and daughters and grandchildren, and when it comes to visiting our family members or going to the royal show and the Easter shows and all other shows, then at that time none of us sit down and calculate how much petrol is going to be spent. But we do not know that when we are going to spend that money on that petrol to get to the masjid and the house of Allah Ta'ala, the barakat that it is going to bring, and afterwards how many of calamities that it is going to ward off. This is our major problem in all countries of the world. I was in Masjid Al-Aqsa. We have great sympathy and we should pray a lot for them, because anybody who is hurt and injured, it bleeds our heart. But we must also take lessons from whatever is happening around the world. When I was in Masjid Al-Aqsa, then I saw so many women scantily dressed, and they were coming into the masjid with the cameras and they were taking photographs. Now was that the purpose of the masjid? And then when it came to Fajr Salat, then we were only about 1.5 saf there. And when it came to Maghrib and Isha also, it was pathetic. I'm talking about a few years ago. But when that masjid is under attack, then the whole world, and rightfully, I'm not saying that we should not, but what I'm saying is that this, when this is the condition, then Allah Ta'ala makes it get attacked. So when the masjid was under attack, then the whole world says, "Our masjid, our masjid." The third Qibla, no doubt it is the third Qibla, and we must give our life to protect and safeguard the third Qibla, because if we are going to do that, we'll be protecting ourselves. But I am only giving you lessons that we must look at it in the light of our masjids. That how many areas of our country there are beautiful masjids, but if we have to go to those masjids at Fajr time in summer months or in winter months, then the state is pathetic. I mentioned before too, and I have got no qualms in repeating it, that I had to visit one masjid. I will not mention the area. And there was a large gathering of almost 30,000 people just a few days before that. And then in the Fajr Salat, there were only 11 people. When I asked the Imam that, "Is this the only congregation that you have here for Fajr when there's such a large community here?" He says, "Before we used to get 12, now we are getting 11. Then in one masjid, there was just the Imam and the Muazzin. It's a massive masjid. Just the Imam and the Muazzin. Believe me, I'm not speaking lies here in the masjid here. Now what about all those homes that are just in that area there? But if the Christians, the Jews, the Hindus and others had to attack, and they had to do some damage, cause some damage to that masjid, then we will get a big newspaper headline there: Muslim mosque attacked. So we've got feeling for the masjid, but our feeling is just like what has been said: Masjid to bana di shabbar mein, Masjid to bana di shabbar mein, ایمان کی حرارت والوں نے مسجد تو بنا دی شب بر میں ایمان کی حرارت والوں نے من اپنا پرانا پاپی ہے برسوں میں نمازی بن نہ سکا Overnight they build the masjid. And what they said, "We've got the spirit of iman in our bodies and in our hearts. See how much of love we have got for Islam, that we can build a masjid overnight." It's a beautiful masjid was constructed overnight, but the heart remained in its old condition. The sins, the evil, nothing left that person. Barso mein namazi ban nasak. Years and years went by. The person who contributed so much towards that masjid was not able to become a namazi in that masjid. Years go by. So this is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, just as all the other ni'mats we have. If a person has his business close to his home, it's a ni'mat. In those days, generally they used to have the shop at the bottom and the house upstairs. So there was one Maulana, he passed away, he says, look at this ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. Niche dukan upar makan, fabi ayya ala rabbikuma tukazziban. So look at this ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. Niche dukan upar makan. The person just goes, opens his shop, goes upstairs and counts his money there. So there is also a ni'mat to have your risk and your sustenance close to your home, that the person doesn't have to go and travel 500 miles every day to go and open his business. This is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So in the same way, this masjid is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. In the Haram Sharif before, there were houses which were in close proximity to the Haram Sharif. The Kaaba Sharif you could see from your windows. You open the window and you can see the Kaaba Sharif. That's how close it was. That if you just open the window, you can look into the Haram Sharif. Ask those people or look at the old photographs. So what people used to do, one ask those who have been now chased far away. And I tell you many of those things which I heard directly from the horse's mouth, where they now regret and they say, Maulana, we wish we had some knowledge and we had some adab for these Mubarak places. Says we used to open the window and look at the crowd downstairs and then smoking away, blow also like that, the smoke is going into the Haram Sharif. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. And then we used to say, today it's very crowded, today it's this, today it's that. But in the meantime, we're not realizing that from our homes, whilst we are smoking, when the window is open, the smoke is going straight into the Haram Sharif. So what happened after that? They said, now move further away, then further away, then further away. Then finally they said, leave this country and go back to your countries. Allah Ta'ala snatches away the ni'mat. We must be very, very much on guard. That item which we require in abundance, then we must make qadar and show appreciation for even the little that we have. How many times, and it hurts my heart when I see a person has got a 10 cent coin or a 5 cent or 2 cent and he just flings it like that far away as if it is absolute dirt. No doubt it may have lost its value, but no 100 rand is complete without that 2 cents and 1 cent. Your 100 rand can never be completed. It will be 99 rand and 98 cents. It will never be 100 rand. So if we require 100 rand in our lives, then appreciate even that 2 cent and 1 cent. If it has got no value, collect it somewhere. When it comes of sufficient amount, then buy one loaf of bread with it or something and give it to some poor and needy. But don't fling it like that, or don't kick it when you see on the ground. When we are going to kick those few cents, Allah Ta'ala will take away the thousands that we have. And we will not even know that what happened and where did it go. When we are going to make na qadri of those ni'mats, when we are going to spend it in haram places, then this is exactly what we are doing. I will conclude on another wastage of good ni'mat. The marriage and wedding cards which we get, sometimes they cost 50 rand, 60 rand and even 100 rand worth of cards. Now if I have to tell somebody that I am giving you this 100 rand as a gift, now if you accept that gift and in front of me you tear that gift, you tear that 100 rand and throw it into the bin, will I ever give you another 100 rand after that? Or a 50 rand? I will say that this person does not appreciate ni'mat. This great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we put it into these type of cards which cost hundreds of thousands of rands. If you have to calculate all over the world, then it runs into millions of rands. And what does the person do besides reading that so-and-so's daughter is going to get married to so-and-so's son? Besides that, what else does he do? Have you gone to anybody's house and you saw a display of all the cards that were given to you from the past 20 years? Has anybody seen in any person's house those cards which were given to them, informing them of the marriage of their son to somebody's daughter, displayed in their houses and framed, all those over the 20, 25 years or 50 years? What does that person then do with that card besides looking at it, that so-and-so will get married on the 20th or 30th, and then tear it like that and throw it in the bin? Now, is it sensible? If anybody feels offended, then I'm sorry that that is the way that I put it across. Because if we are not going to feel that hurt on our heart of what we are doing, we are not going to give it up. So the next time that we think of distributing cards which run into 50s and 100s and 20 and 30 rand or 100 rand worth of cards, then just pick it up and look at it and say, what is going to be the end result of this card? The end result, whether it is a wedding card, whether it is a birthday card, whether it is any other card that we are sending, the end result is the person is going to read it, it will tear like that and go into the bin. So we have virtually destroyed a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Then 50 years later or 20 years later or 30 years later, when the business goes bankrupt or when the house goes on sale and is auctioned or when our carpet is pulled from beneath our feet, then we must not say, Ya Allah, what sin did I do that I am suffering these type of calamities? People ask, what sin did I do? Look back at our lives and see what sins we did, how much of wastage we made, and this is the punishment that we are facing. So we must take lessons from everything that's happening around. At this moment in time, believe me, there's a flood of things in my mind that is coming, Allah Ta'ala is putting, but the time has expired. So therefore I conclude. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq to appreciate this great ni'mat of masjid, of food, of money, of clothes, of wealth, of home, of business, of property, of good children, of pious children, of healthy children. All these ni'mats, our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our hands, our feet, our heart and mind, our liver, lungs and kidneys all functioning. Who, if we have to just look at it, we feel as if there are mountains on our heads and we are right down, pressed against the ground, and there's nothing left. If we have to just look at the weight of those ni'mats upon us, we can't make enough shukr. And when we are going to make plenty of shukr, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, La azidannakum, I will definitely give you an increase. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal. And may Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials that the ummah is facing all over the world, especially in Palestine, Kashmir, Afghanistan, in India, and other parts of the world.